Addie, I'm absolutely devastated. I never expected anything like this ever my whole life to happen to me. I bought little by little, dollar by dollar, and saved up my money and got myself to over 1.67 Bitcoin. All of a sudden, I got a letter in the U.S. mail with my name, my address, my zip code, and the type of wallet that I had. There was a QR code. I thought I was doing the right thing. And now it's all gone. I have a zero balance and I don't know what to do. I'm heart sick over it because I'm 77 years old and I cannot make this money back.
Tonight's guest is Karen Fay, a nurse, Gold Star widow, Honor Flight guardian, and longtime believer in discipline, resilience, and self-sovereignty. After surviving profound personal loss and dedicating her life to serving others, Karen recently became the victim of a physical ledger phishing attack that resulted in the loss of her life savings. Karen, I'm so sorry about what happened to you. I wish I could have been there to help you. I'm very, very sorry, but thank you for taking the time to talk about all this and help educate people. So why don't you just tell us, Karen, what exactly happened so other people can learn from that, your mistake, and not make the same mistake in the future? Why don't we just start from the top?
Maddie, I'm absolutely devastated. I never expected anything like this ever my whole life to happen to me. I have been a member, as you know, for over 7 years of the Bitcoin Club, and I've been studying and studying. And finally, I found myself in a position that I wanted to start buying, and I bought little by little, dollar by dollar, and saved up my money and got myself to over 1.67 Bitcoin. And I put it on a Ledger wallet because I was told that was a very safe wallet. And I put it there last July, and I just forget about it. And I'd watch, like everybody else, what the price of Bitcoin was on a daily basis. And all of a sudden, this past April, I got a letter in the U.S. mail with my name, my address, my zip code, and the type of wallet that I had. And I made some phone calls, and nobody was available, anybody that I called that could help me if this was an actual genuine letter from Ledger. Then I went on the Ledger website that I Googled to see if there was any announcement warning people that there were bogus letters going into the mail, and I saw nothing. I saw no way to get in touch with the Ledger people, no phone number, no customer service. It was impossible. When I looked, it said, contact us. You had to send in some, your name, your address, and when they felt like getting back to you in 2-3 days a week, they would. And this letter had a date that it was imperative that I update the software because they were having all sorts of phishing attacks. And I didn't want to see my hard-earned money disappear. And that's exactly what happened. I thought I was doing the right thing. There was a QR code, and it told me to go into it. And when I did, I had to enter as I did. But I swear I thought it was from Ledger.
So Karen has been a longtime member of our Bitcoin meetup group. And I know we've talked about this so many times about, you know, never giving your seed phrase. But attackers are going to continuously try to pull on emotional heartstrings and try to manipulate you and trick you and physical mail, et cetera, to get you to give up those seeds and those your secret recovery phrase, right? This is a common attack vector scam where they try to give you a sense of urgency that you need to act now, act quickly. So this is for people who are listening to this podcast. Most scams will have some plea to act urgently. You need to upgrade now. They're going to, you know, try to convince you to move quickly, right? When you have a spidey sense of something happening, the hairs on the back of your neck should stand up because it should kind of tell you, wait, this is potentially a scam, right? That's the way they try to get you to make a fast decision to separate you from your funds and your wealth. So for future listeners, that is a hallmark of most scams where, hey, you need to upgrade right now. Something's going on. It's a sense of urgency, blah, blah, blah. Do it right now, right?
With due respect to that, I was been a nurse for 49 years, and I always had to act right now or somebody would die. I was an 11 at night till 7 in the morning ICU nurse. I've worked on the cancer floor, and somebody would die if I didn't act. So I guess with your background, whatever type of work, that was the one thing in my mind is that I had to do something. And with all of the years of experience and all of the years of education and teachings, I acted when I couldn't find anybody else around. And many times when you stand at the bedside and you watch someone dying, you have to act. There is nobody else to rely on when you don't have a team. And I was also a visiting nurse, and I had to be the team. So I'm not saying this is the right thing to do. You're right. Sometimes you got to step back and take a look. But this is ingrained in a lot of people to act that way. And I gave this country all I had at 18 years old. I was married 1 month and sent my husband to Vietnam. He was a United States Marine. And he went to Vietnam. And years later, he died on my floor where I was a cancer nurse, very young, in his 40s, from Agent Orange poisoning. He was so poisoned.
He died from his service to our country here on American soil. And he died on my floor where I was a nurse and my hospital.
Karen told me Hayward died from the effects of Agent Orange, an herbicide and defoliant the U.S. Army sprayed to remove enemy cover. But what was hiding was just as deadly.
And he left me and three kids. And I've had to fend for myself all these years. And this is the reason I put what little money I could scrape together and get myself up to almost 1 3/4 Bitcoin for my future, because I had no retirement. I worked in a hospital in the days. I worked for the nuns, the Catholic hospital. And the reason they call them nuns is because you get none. In those days, there was no retirement at all for nurses. I had to scrape and pinch every single penny that I put into this because I didn't trust the world. I didn't trust what was going to happen in the government. And I put it all into Bitcoin because I trusted Bitcoin because it was off the system. And now it's all gone. It's totally gone. I have a zero balance in my wallet. And I don't know what to do. I'm heart sick over it because I'm 77 years old and I cannot make this money back.
It is very, very, very sad. We're going to try to help you with the community. We're going to try to help you get some donations here to try to work that balance back up for you over time, right? At the end of the episode, we're going to post a Bitcoin address for you. You know, hopefully the community will step up and help you out. And that being said, we have to make sure that this never happens again, right? And we have to be clear that this was a user error, not a Bitcoin error, not a ledger error.
I'm not saying it's a ledger error, but why did not Ledger have any kind of contact that I could contact them immediately? Even if they had somebody on the other end where I question and answers, even if it was a bot that they could get somebody live to answer my question, I would have waited if I had something. I saw no place, and I put my money into buying this Ledger.
Did it not seem weird to you that there was no announcement about whatever that is in that letter on their website?
I figured, no, I guess not. Yeah. I didn't think of it that way. Yeah. I thought if it was a scam, there would be an announcement. I never thought on that end.
This is one scam vector that you've experienced, but there's people running hundreds of these scam letters. But it does raise bigger questions, I think. Collecting all this data on people, I mean, obviously a hacker, somebody exploited all this KYC, know your customer data that you have here with your name, your address, all that
Everything.
Stuff, which is if you order from Ledger, they keep a record of your personal information. Personally, I think that's a horrible decision to do that. I don't think they should keep, given the nature of what's at risk here and what people are securing, I don't think they should keep all that customer data and information because it becomes a honeypot. Mm-hmm. And this is a broader question, not just for this situation, but for just everything in society, right? We've become this society where everything has to be KYC. It's anti-money laundering, all this stuff. And really, it actually does a lot more harm than good, right? People
think, obviously,
if we just check and make sure you are who you say you are or whatever, we're going to help, you know, prevent bad people from doing things or from, you know, doing money laundering or whatever it may be. But the real issue is that, the bad guy still gets through anyway. But on the back end, you don't look at the actual cost of collecting all these honeypots of information, which don't just affect Ledger Bitcoin wallets or any other hardware wallet provider in the crypto community or the Bitcoin community, but we're talking about banking information. Banks have to know everything about you. All these institutions have to know every little thing about everybody. And then all that happens is you've got all of this information sitting in these servers that, you know, are controlled by Target or Walmart or the bank or whatever. And hackers get in and they take all that information and then they use that information to do a bunch of scams. And unfortunately, it affects a lot of our older population because we're just built for a different world, right? The world is changing so fast, and technology is growing so quickly that, you know, people are, you know, like me, if I get a, I don't even look at letters I get in the mail, but you, you grew up in that era where Absolutely. People was, there was no email. There was mostly just letters,
None,
right?
Nothing.
So it just seems more official, right? But to me, I just throw letters away. I don't even, what's a letter? I mean, that's how I think about it, right?
But I never thought email mail scam. I never thought something would.
You know, not all the phishing scams are going to be the same. I mean, there's email version of this. Well, you might get a text message. I mean, there's a system in place with these scams that they use. One is they try to get you to act quickly by creating some event that you need to be urgent about, right? That's a common hallmark of all these scams, right? You know, there's text messages you'll receive. And Coinbase is also guilty of this because their customer list has been hacked. And then people are getting targeted. I get messages all the time from Coinbase, text messages saying, hey, your Coinbase account is at risk. Call this number. That's the common one now. And the number that they tell you to call is a fake 1-800 number. So you call the number and somebody pretends that they're Coinbase, right? So they're going to trick you and pretend that they're Coinbase support when in reality they're not. These are all things that we need to be aware of with this situation. You know, A, not your keys, not your coins, which is one important aspect of, you know, you want to have some level of self-custody. But now I'm starting to rethink how I'm teaching people about all of this. And it's been not your keys, not your coins, everything in self-custody, right? But what I believe now at this point is there's different attack vectors for every type of custody, right? So yes, you want to have some Bitcoin in self-custody that only you control in case something happens, but you still probably, it's wise to maybe leave a portion of those funds, you know, on a custodial exchange. Maybe it's wise to leave a portion of those funds in like a Grayscale Bitcoin trust or something where you have different risk profiles, right? Here, the risk with the risk of self-custody is obviously you getting phished or attacked or exploited, the person, the individual being exploited, right? You gave up your seed phrase. So that's one attack factor. But if we had split up our custody, it wouldn't be so devastating.
They made it seem like when I put that in that I was going into it, like they made it seem like it was going into like a deeper vault, like being protected.
Yeah, I mean, it's
that's the
it's
way
a scam.
It
yeah, I mean, it's a
remember,
well,
I'm a woman.
It's a sophisticated scam.
I'm a widow and I'm elderly, if you really want to call it that. I'm elderly. I'm 77 years old. So I did not grow up. We barely had a typewriter.
Yeah.
And people were taking typing. And we didn't have any kind of forms of computers and all of the technology as it advances rapidly.
Yeah.
And we're believers and my whole generation also.
Your inclination, by the way, is very correct, right? I mean, you don't want to put all your trust in the government. You want to trust yourself.
Right.
But I think there's a.
I don't trust the government. After giving my husband and they killed him by poisoning him with Agent Orange and dying in his 40s, he was very poisoned. Took my breadwinner, my children's father, my grandchildren's grandfather, who they never knew. This is awful. And I'm left all alone in this world. And now I'm too old to work. And I have no way of recouping this. And this was all I could scrape together.
We're going to do our best to rally the community around you for this. So me and Paul and our whole team here, JMD, everybody, we're going to, you know, try to use this to educate people, raise awareness about this. Because, I mean, these are important conversations that need to be had, right?
I don't want another woman ever to tell anybody.
Nobody, yeah.
But
yeah.
Women, they, you know, are vulnerable. I don't want to see them.
Yeah. Education is so important, right? It's like the quote, with great power comes great responsibility, right? Like you, when you have your Bitcoin and you have self-custody, you know, that is a great power. You now have a digital bearer asset on the internet that only you control. That it's, you know, it's money for generations, right? It's money... it's money that you can take anywhere that permissionlessly, right? So there truly is a true breakthrough in humanity and civilization. But it does require, you know, a high level of, you know, responsibility and education. And, you know, that can be manipulated in people, right? So we got to talk about this because it is an issue, right? It is an issue. And I think it's important to draw light to it. I think maybe it's important for people, you know, as a Bitcoiner, when I first came to Bitcoin, my first thought was 100% we want to be all self-custody. We want to get everything off Coinbase. We want to get everything off everywhere. But, you know, maybe especially there is an argument to be said to diversify. Yes, you give up true self-sovereignty when you leave it on Coinbase and when you have it in an IRA and a retirement account. But, you know, there's benefits to those different things, right? You do gain a benefit, right? Where it's like, if you have it in your IRA or retirement account, okay, now you've got tax-free potentially, you know, explosive exponential growth of Bitcoin, like what we've seen over the past couple decades, you get to experience that tax-free, but yes, you don't have true self-custody of it, right? You are at the mercy of the system. And with Coinbase is a kind of a step in between, you know, yes, it's on a custodial exchange, but with a couple presses of a button, you can try to get it out of there, right?
Yeah.
But it's not at risk, you know, from a phishing attack the same way, like, you know, as it would be here with we get a letter in the mail, right? Yes, there is phishing attacks for Coinbase.
I thought Ledger was the safest.
Ledger is safe. What's not safe is when you put
my information isn't safe.
Your seed phrase. Well, yes, your information for making a purchase.
I never dreamt that somebody would send me a letter like this.
So yeah, I mean, somebody exploited Ledger's CRM, or if it's KYC AML, like through a bank, they take your social security number and all your personal information to make sure you're not a bad guy. And then they put it all in one database, and then an attacker comes into that database and they just essentially steal all that information, and then they use it to target all these people, right? Especially elderly people. But this is an example of, you know, I know Ledger and Coinbase are, you know, some of the biggest providers, and they've done a great job for the industry to forward the technology. But when it comes to customer information, it's very hard to protect.
It's awful. They didn't protect the information. Yeah.
So maybe, you know, if I was the CEO of Ledger, I would come up with a system that where I don't even need to see my customers' information. That way you can say, I don't even have your information. Delete it. The second it's sent out, or have a separate company fulfill the shipping request. And I don't know what the ultimate solution is. And I know why companies want their customers' information, right? They want to be able to market and advertise new products. And I get that, right? That is, you know, something that most companies want. It's just, it becomes, you know, a potential exploit and attack vector.
If people
are
happy with the product, they're going to go back to a company that, so they don't have to keep your information.
Maybe you run your own CRM, right? That's something that we've had these discussions, right? Because my team has always wanted to use a CRM, and I've been kind of against it. I want to use if we have our own CRM, I want to build it ourselves, and I want to host it internally on our own servers, right? So that way we're not at the mercy of some, you know, $30 a month software subscription company that has 5 million different, you know, companies, CRMs, you know, all on one cloud. That's one major attack vector. So there are different ways to approach the situation, but it is also, you know, again, this is why I started our Bitcoin meetup, right? And, if you think back to what I always say at every meetup is never give anybody your seed phrase, right?
And in
that education,
words, when I was doing it, I didn't think I was giving it to a person. Yeah. I thought I was
seeing this. Yeah, they just have a sophisticated way of getting to enter your seed phrase somewhere, right? If you lose your physical wallet, right? The only reason you have that seed phrase is so you can restore all of your funds, right? If anybody has your seed phrase, they will now have all of your funds. And that's the key thing to understand that. You know, it's as a digital bearer asset, that seed phrase is the keys to the kingdom. You never enter them into your phone, you never enter them in your computer, you never give them to anybody, you never take a picture of your seed phrase. These are all the things that, you know, we've talked about. And even with all that education, right, you know, you were still exploited here by a sophisticated attack. So it's so important for people to be on guard when they're protecting their, you know, their wealth. If they have exposure to that. But again, like I said, I'm increasingly believing that it's important to not have all your eggs in one basket, right? You know, yes, of course you want to have that self-custody. You want to have that hardware wallet that secures some of your funds in case shit hits the fan, right? Or something happens, or, you know, we don't know, right? But you need to go somewhere. You can take that with you anywhere. But at the same time, there is a risk like we've seen here. So it's good to diversify to different forms of custody, right? When I have many of you at our meetup, I, you know, say, hey, just start, buy a little bit on an exchange, right? Start there. And as time goes on, you can learn more. You can slowly educate yourself on self-custody and all of these different things.
Maddie, I want to thank you and all the guys here in the meetup group, Paul and John and everybody. I really, really appreciate it. I want to thank all your listeners for listening to my story. I hope this helps somebody and stops them from being scammed. And if anybody out there can help me, I really genuinely appreciate it. And I also want to thank all of your veterans, all the people that never said no to this country, all the men and the women like my husband, except for my husband paid the ultimate price. He gave his life for this country. But thank you to everybody.
Thanks so much, Karen, for coming in and helping educate all of our listeners. Guys, we will leave a donation address in the notes. So if you could spare a couple sats for Karen here, we'd really appreciate it. Thank you so much for listening, Karen. Thank you. Sorry this happened to you.